Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. This period of time is a period for a guided meditation with the theme, and then following on from that, a question and answer period if you have any. So with the posture initially, if we sit tall and upright, the spine, the backbone straight, chin tucked in a little bit, these formal meditation postures are a reminder of a contribution in the many hours that of every day that you and I would spend sitting somewhere on something. The experience of contact with the earth, of being grounded and centered. Receives much encouragement in these teachings and practices. So in the first few minutes now, a full body sitting. We are the practitioners dedicated to a full meeting with this experience of life. A full presence to it. Not offering anything outside of it to escape to take comfort in, to believe in. So that we can meet life and not feel intimidated by it. not transferring power over to it, so that we are afraid of it, or denying or avoiding. So that we can say hello to life and goodbye to life. And not feel bound in it. Let us give and apply mindfulness to the feeling tones one of the expressions, the confirmations of the reality of life. Feeling tones of the body, which we call sensations, that's the word that we use. So experiencing the sensations of the body, close, intimate, a presentation out of the nature, out of life. The experience of these sensations of the body are not singular, but like everything else, diverse. Areas may be pleasant, warm, comfortable, at ease. Areas may be rather neutral, hardly noticeable, hardly felt. And other areas may be unpleasant, painful. And we are clear human beings. We are receptive to the diversities of sensations. Neither grasping after the pleasant, nor fighting against the painful. Nor trying to stimulate that which feels to be neither pleasant nor painful. So the reality of life includes and embraces the fields of sensations, if we exaggerate those feeling tones of the body, those sensations of the body, it will disturb the inner equilibrium. Peace of mind will start to collapse. Through projecting too much authority into the varieties of sensations. This is a teaching of calm presence. This is a teaching of equanimity. This is a teaching of seeing and knowing peace of mind, despite what is presented to us. Now from the feeling tones of the body, the sensations, to the feeling tones of the heart-mind. What is the general feeling as we sit? Does the mind feel calm? Is the feeling tone one of being at ease? Are we attuned to the immediate feeling tone in this stillness? In the words travelling through the air, through the space. Is there a view, the feeling tone is rather neutral, neither pleasant nor painful. And mindfulness just recognizes this. Without placing pressure on the feeling tone, which is very quiet, hardly noticed. Acknowledging its presence in the reality of things. Is the feeling tone of the heart mind unpleasant? Is the unpleasant dependent on a certain state of mind? Is the unpleasant related to a stream of thinking? Indulgence in memory. Low energy. Or desires or disappointments. So our mindfulness meditations, brief reflections, develop a receptivity can recognize what's going on with ourself. Before it becomes a problem, a habit, a reactivity. So we give attention to what we feel. We give attention to what we think about these feelings. We give attention to what we make of the feeling tones. The dynamics, the interaction of feeling tones and thoughts. One, feeling tones having impact on thinking, thinking having an impact on the feeling tones. This interaction can have an immense influence on the way we look at life. Feeling tones with thought, thought with feeling tones. Way we look at others, ourselves, circumstances, the fields of time, so we are mindful, meditative on this dynamic of thought and feeling. And how easily and quickly it can shape our whole view of everything we turn attention to. And we will know if we have made too much out of this dynamic. We will suffer over it. We will experience problematic states of mind. If we have made too little, we can become cold, feelingless, emotionally dry, hard, detached. So we abide receptive. To the views, perceptions, to the expression, movement of the feeling life. And out of the receptivity can emerge a wise view. A deep empathy with life. We can feel concern, which is not always easy to feel. We can find the wise response to the challenging feelings and their tone and the pleasant, warm feelings and those in between. And finally, abiding with full presence, sometimes abiding with just the bare feeling tones without thoughts. Abiding, feeling tone and thoughts which just accurately reflect the experience. May all beings explore the inner world of feeling tones and thought. May all beings explore our engagement with the outer world. May all beings understand the intimacy of the inner world and the outer world. Thank you. I'll just pick up the cup of tea. So in this period of time, just under the 30 minutes, if any of you have any questions out of the days, please feel free to ask. Priority given to anyone who hasn't yet spoken, so they have the opportunity. One or two of you, or more in fact, have spoken once or twice, so a little extra encouragement. Those who have not yet spoken, anyone. That means you may like to touch upon the meditation times, maybe questions arising out of teachings and practices, may have a direct connection with what's happening since Friday morning, or maybe some other area. So it's really open door, open window. Anyone?
Christopher, I had a question.
Yeah, please do, yes.
Yeah. This is in context with an experience I had this morning.
Yes.
So instead of the work period, I did sitting meditation.
Yeah.
And you know, the breath becomes subtle, the solidity of the body fades.
Yes.
And the deep relaxation that you talked about, right?
Yes.
That sets in. And there was a growing, and thoughts kind of wandered away.
Yeah.
There was a growing sense of deep calm, and yet a combined kind of high alertness or awareness.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you say the deep calm is samatha,
yes,
and if the alertness or awareness is samadhi for focus or concentration, then there was very much a sense of, and the possibility arose, it wasn't a thought, of expanding this combined situation. And it was fairly long. I mean, I don't know how long, but fairly long. So the question is, then a thought arose saying which direction to go in, right? And then the whole thing disintegrated the minute the kind of thinking mind.
It's a familiar one.
Yeah.
All right.
So I was wondering, so the question is, does one have to make a choice? And if so, how?
Yeah.
Or... because, you know, often in readings and teachings, you read about samatha separately and samadhi separately.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, or whether this joint, combined thing,
yes,
as it goes, is fine. Yeah.
All right. So, very clear explanation. I'll endeavor to mirror back to you there. So... there can be periods, in this is a case, meditative periods, in which there is an appreciation and recognition of calm and really quite some deep calm. And these are important for health, heart, mind, body. They're really precious. Shows there's no demands which are going on. it also can be accompanied with a clarity there. As you point out, sometimes in the tradition, Buddhist tradition, these distinctions are made between samadhi, that's a deep kind of meditative concentration, we might say, and samatha, calmness of being. And unfortunately, when some division is made, then the idea of choice will arise. And then that will generate the thought, and the thought, so to speak, could land in that area and disturb. In a way, oneself has done everything you need to do. So, which included generating of the time to sit, making use of it for mindfulness and meditation. And in a way, that's the primary choice. There is a singularity of the choice. And after that, you let the nature take over, so that the calmness, the samadhi, the clarity, and one just abides and see what unfolds after that. So the organic life then has the priority, and the self doesn't enter into it. So that organic life, so that might lead to a deepening of the samadhi, it might lead to happiness, it might reveal insight and understanding, it might touch upon some area which you have forgotten or neglected and it needs attention. So there's a certain kind of trust. Let the unfoldment happen, and you are just there with it, and it will organically go where it needs to go. And that might mean and include a much greater sense of expansion. So in other words, the calm and the samadhi and the clarity, precious and important as they are for human existence there, they also abide in something bigger than itself. And that might kind of begin to also be clear as well. So one appreciates calm, samadhi, clarity of being there. One is quietly steady and patient with it there. As I say, it may touch upon more depth, more insights, more joy, a range of experiences, challenging or beautiful, but it might also be a kind of doorway to a liberating sense as well. And all of that is the potential born out of such experiences. Good? Enough?
Yes, thank you.
All right. Good, thank you. Yeah, yes. We, you know, a little bit of the practice is to kind of, in a way, know what we can do and know the limits of what the self can do with a certain trust. The unfoldment will begin to happen by itself, and we're just there with it.
And yeah, I think I was there at that moment, and then that thought landed.
Yes.
And I think if I had sat with it without wondering,
yes,
it probably would have gone further.
It's it's interesting with the thought. it, I'll just push this door to, phone is ringing. It's interesting with the process of the thought. For any of us, it can arise, you know, like, shall I or shan't I, there. As the understanding begins to come in, there will also be the recognition of the thought, but it won't have that authority to disturb. As the understanding is there, thought may still arise, but right. You know, you just, I know that, it's not relevant, and you just stay with your abiding, calm abiding. All right? Like it, it's your life. Yes, anyone, please. There's also the, if you wish, some people prefer to write something, and I'll, of course, I'll have a look just to make sure. and I can answer in the written form or the spoken. So there's a note, I'll read it out. Your response to the question to trust the unfolding of the Dharma reminds me of one of your most influential talks, Life is a Gift. So thank you. It's interesting, just take a sideways step from the kind response, that there are moments in life and in our friendships and interactions with each other, how in the many, many hours a persons can spend with each other, that it can be, it would be, a number of the standout moments, a number of moments which really touched us, and days, months, years, in this case decades, because I remember this talk, can take place, and we listen, and out of the blue, so to speak, a memory comes, this is, you know, a little bit of the wonder, the magic of life, of a talk which kind of touched on this kind of theme, given, I don't know where it was given, was it? Anyway, maybe Buddha Gaya or somewhere, I can't remember. But anyway, given a long time ago, at least 20, 30, maybe more years ago. What I find precious about being touched and the spark of the memory, that the same thing has been said to me a few, you know, I'm not showing off here, a few times, but what's interesting, the same thing has been said to me about this particular talk. You know, if I have on recorded probably around 5,000 talks, you know, blah, blah, blah. But more importantly, sometimes there is a kind of synchronicity in life which really touches deeply. I think many, many examples of this. The one that I heard most about was Leonard, the great, beautiful, warm-hearted, poetic Leonard Cohen, and giving a concert after he began his tours after 8 years or 10 years of absence. And friends spoke to me about it. And the common view was something touched really well and deeply, something deeply spiritual about the whole experience of being in this particular concert. And this one was at the U2 Stadium. This one was in London there. And the human beings, we resonate with the event. And maybe the larger ones, like with Leonard, and the smaller ones with other people. And life is rich in these being touched with. It's the feeling tone which can stay steady with us, while the content may be, oh yes, some relative there, but the feeling tone remembers something. Quite something with us human beings. Just how much in life, which we didn't even know at the time, really runs deep with us. And if I may say, just on the personal note here, some of you, I know Brian has a copy, has been very kind with the posting and so forth, that in writing a memoir, so that was 1967 to 77, so it's a stretch of time, a very successful postponement of doing it. And I would be writing, and hand on heart, I'd be writing, it could have been last week. I had no idea just how much detail and picture and story and communication took place. And I'd be writing, and it was like it happened yesterday, happened a few days ago, but it happened in 1970. I haven't even thought about it for 50 years. I might have just had two or three sentences in a diary or a note to my mum and dad or whatever, and I thought, it's there. What was the title of that talk I gave? Life is a gift. Life is a gift. It's not a possession. It's a gift. And the gift stays with us for a while. Not that long, especially in the white-haired club. But we're happy to have had the gift. And let's not forget the gifts of daily life. Oh dear. Anyone else? Any voice today? I'm going to try and find that talk. It's upstairs. I saw it in the box amongst all countless others. I think I'm going to dig it out. And perhaps sometime I'll get round to transcribing. Whether it's as insightful as I like to think it is, I'll find out. So will Brian. Oh dear. Any points that you'd like me to expand a little bit on or touch upon?
Well, I just have one question. It's just about pain.
Pain, yes.
And I find it difficult to tell what's real, what's psychosomatic pains, and what's actual injuries and pains coming up. And I mean, I have been on a retreat for years and years and years, actually. And I mean, there's a lot of pain comes up at the beginning of the retreat, physical pain.
Yes.
This time it seems to have been worse than I remember, but perhaps that's just my memory.
Yeah.
And some sort of real crescendo of pain, and pains which I'd forgotten about, like injuries and, oh my goodness, I've forgotten about that. Oh God, I'm having all the tooth pain around there a little while ago. And is that sort of, what's memory, what's psychosomatic, what's real? I'm a little kind of, and also I noticed my circulation of my hands was terrible. Oh my God, it was like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
This type of thing,
Yeah, so it's a concern, I can hear it with your voice, which... in a way, three areas that can manifest. One is, here and now, there is a direct physical pain. It can be due to a variety of conditions, and these conditions have nothing whatsoever to do with your state of mind. Nothing whatsoever to do with thought or feeling tone. It's simply, pardon me here, the event which is physical and to be seen clearly as that. A second, which also can take place, is the mixture. So what I mean by that, it can be both mind and body. And we can be experiencing, still with the present, pain in the body. There is reactivity taking place in the mind. The reactivity in the mind is mixing in with the pain in the body. And it becomes very difficult to know, in such an experience, what's just body and what's mind, because they get all mixed in together. It's also regular and common enough where the mind is experiencing pain such as pressure. One is convinced that this feeling tone is only physical. It may not be physical at all, in terms it's not a physical cause. It's just it's been looked at in that way. And for the meditator, one of the common examples of that is feeling a lot of pain, so-called, in the body. One is desperate, which is more pressure, waiting for the sitting to be over with, waiting for the teacher to ring the gong to end the sitting. And the gong is rings, and immediately all that pain, that pressure in the mind disappears, and it's gone, and the body is completely comfortable. And one says, wow, I think I'll stay in this posture. I think I'll sit for another 10 or 15 minutes. So one's gone from living in hell for the past 10 or 15 minutes of the meditation sitting to being in heaven. I can tell you the gong has no power. It just rings. So it's recognizing the mixture. Is it physical? Is it both? Is it all mental? there. Finally, when you come to the past and impact on the present, it genuinely isn't easy to know. We genuinely would like to know, is it just some old wounds, some old accident, an old surgery, and it's brought a trauma in the body, and now some of that old physical is just emerging? And that certainly can happen. You know, my mantra, the body remembers, there. But we have the capacity to witness clearly and to see if the influence and the impact is really affecting our state of mind. If so, there's a mixture. Mind state and body state are all getting mixed up together. So if you notice that, and that could be the sensations in the hand, like you referred to, or any other part of the body. If you notice that, remember to breathe. Breathe in, breathe out. Let lots of oxygen come in. Then be very still for a few moments. And just see, is there a certain calm in the mind which can witness that discomfort in the hand? Witness perhaps some old trauma manifesting somewhere in the body from that operation or that accident or that injury or that sickness or whatever. And in a way which says, aha, yes, that is there. You're not denying it, but you're not worried or fearful about it. And when there is enough peace of mind, clarity of mind, the impact will naturally fade because it's not being fed. And that's the practice. It's a practice.
Well, thanks.
Clear enough?
Yeah, very clear. Thank you.
Good news. Thank you very much. And it genuinely is common. And the most dramatic, which I referred to over the years from time to time, in Barre, Massachusetts. He was a young priest. He was about 27 years of age. This is all late 1970s, 1980s. And sadly, he was in a railway accident and he lost his legs from above the knee. So he had a wheelchair and he boldly lift himself out of the wheelchair, I remember, and sit on the meditation cushion. And the accident had happened when he was 15, so that was 12 years ago. And he said he'd be sitting in meditation and would be experiencing pain in his knees and in his ankle. And he said to me, Christopher, I had to open my eyes. I was completely convinced that the legs were there experiencing pain. You know, it's called, you know, as the professionals would call it, phantom pain. We shouldn't underestimate the capacity of the mind to remember the trauma and kind of start reliving the pain there. And he said he just needed, well, this is an old shadow in the mind. He breathed in and breathed out and it faded out. But it was very persuasive in the moment. To the point he actually said, I'm opening my eyes just to check. The mind is a powerful event, and in precious ways and in difficult ways. All right, let's have our quiet moment together. May all beings be mindful of the variety of bodily sensations. May all beings be mindful of the feeling tones. May all beings find wisdom in the face of the human experience. All right, everyone. Thank you for lending an ear. Thank you for the lovely contributions with the questions and sharing. The time now, here it's 3 o'clock, blue sunny skies. I'm off for a walk, and we'll meet together in an hour and a half, and then I'll give the evening talk with a little summary for the day as well. Well, everybody, thank you. Lots of love to you all. See you later.